Welcome to episode 51 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is September the 16th, 2012. I am Matthew Dean Furlough, and this is the Apple fanboy, James Furlough.
It's good to be Apple fanboy.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I ruined it. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Well, I wanted you to catch the singularity of that. I'm going to... Actually, I swing wildly between my highs and lows on the announcement this week.
This is awesome. This is awesome. You're turning into an Android fanboy. I knew it.
It's not true. That's the worst part.
I knew it.
I'm just angry at everybody.
Uh-huh. That's the first step.
But this week, like every week, we'll be talking about all sorts of technology, not just Apple. And the continuing corporate opera, or the soap opera of corporations' dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and, of course, the technology that they are developing. Before we get into the heart of the show, James has got a quick disclosure he's got to throw at us.
Yes. I work for a company that does not sell a smartphone yet. anymore.
I'm going to say you bought like three of them.
I know, it's awesome. That company being HP. However, I do not represent HP or any of HP's opinions, so I should always be saying I when referring and talking about HP. And if I do happen to say we, I really meant to say I.
Cool. All right, man. If you want to follow us throughout the week, there's all sorts of ways to do that. I recommend starting off at Twitter. That's probably where we update our stuff most, and my handle is at Matthew D. Furlough.
I am at James Furlough.
The show is at Furlough Bros. All three of those, good places, get information. Furlough Bros is a little more tech-centric. Matthew and James, it's a little more, you know, all of our interests and ups and downs of life, and get to know us a little bit better. Also, you can go to the furloughbros.com website. It's got all that information that you want. Of course, if you're really into Google Plus or Facebook, you can go and check out our Furlough Bros pages there. And then, you know, don't go to Ping anymore because it's going to be closed by the end of the month. But, yeah, that's cool.
Nice.
That's how it rolls, man.
All right.
So this is a bit of a, mobile handheld phone device week, it felt like. I had to like
which
go
really
out of
is
my way.
Like Apple week, honestly, and everything I gets kind of sucked into that.
Well, I mean, the thing is that it's like, you know, Nokia.
I almost thought you were going to say leukemia. It's like, oh, let me see this one.
Nokia launched a phone last week specifically to get caught up in the Apple updraft. And, you know, Samsung is doing their little Warpath thing and having fun with that. So, it's, you know, it's a valid week to have it.
Okay.
You know, which I guess really the question I think that we need to start with is, how did BlackBerry do this month?
Yes. Why not? So, it was awesome. So VentureBeat had this article. So here's a surprise. RIM is in decline. I don't know if you knew that or not. Yeah. But there's a Pacific Crest analyst. His name is James. Good name. He sent out a little bit of research note, you know, talking about what they found. Is that a meaningful number, we're going to put that in quotes, so, you know, it's not very quantified, but a meaningful number, so more than two? I don't know. A mobile carrier retailers, okay, so these are the people who sell mobile phones, right? These are very important to BlackBerry's business. A meaningful number of them sold approximately zero BlackBerries last month.
That's unbelievable.
That's bad, is what that is.
That's not bad, James. That's atrocious. That's horrible. That's, I mean, now that doesn't include corporate sales because those don't get sold through retailers,
Correct.
but they don't make very good margins on corporate phones, and because you're doing big mass things, and you're talking, you're moving devices, but you're not doing a lot more than just paying the bills, and really and truly, you're probably not barely doing that.
Well, and the problem too is if you're not top of mind in the consumer space, companies don't want to hand employees phones. They're like, what the heck is this? I think it was Mayer, the new CEO of Yahoo. She was like, you can use any phone you want as long as it's not a BlackBerry. Which before her, they were all BlackBerry. And she's not dumb, right? She's like, I don't want to force a phone that nobody wants. And clearly, as these sales show, nobody actually wants these phones. It's just bad. Poor Rim.
That's unbelievable. Zero sales.
On a meaningful number. Now, once again, that means that they did do some sales, obviously, but to have some retailers that their job is to sell smartphones.
You
BlackBerry
didn't.
makes smartphones. They probably actually sold phones. Just none of them, zero, were BlackBerry.
Well, yeah, see, that's the thing, is it's like.
That's like having a store that says we did not sell any Kellogg's cereal at the
Right,
grocery store. Just
exactly.
like, wait, what?
That. Well, yeah, and even if you only have one retail, even if it's just a minor Midwest retailer that came back and said, yeah, we didn't sell any Kellogg's this month, you'd be like, what? What's going on with Kellogg? Yeah, especially because it's a brand-wide thing. It's not they didn't sell any of one particular model. No, just any. There's not one single one that they sold. And a meaningful number, even if it were just one, it would be a horrible thing in light of where the company is. Like Palm was selling more than that when they got bought by HP. And to have a meaningful number, like you said, it could be two or three, and that's meaningful. That's terrible. Man.
So you'll also like this. The recent survey from the Baird Equity Research shows that the BlackBerry 10, which is due to come out at the beginning of next year, won't likely be the revival event Rim is hoping for. On a 10-point scale, developer outlook for BlackBerry 10 fell from 4.6
Oh my gosh.
to 3.8. Which is just 1 point higher than developer interest in HP's semi-dead web OS at let's see, at 0.4 points above the interest in the already absolute Windows Phone 7. So BlackBerry, good for them, is barely beating out web OS and Windows Phone 7.
On developer interest, which means they're
Yes.
basically they're the dividing line, but they are at the dividing line between dead company, dead technologies, and living tech. That's unbelievable. It's funny. I've been kind of wor I you know we don't we haven't talked about them a lot last couple of months, really.
Well, that's because they haven't done much, as
They've
this
been
also
so.
shows.
Right, yeah. And so I was just, we I actually like I strained to bring them up last week because I was like, man, I feel like BlackBerry's just been completely out of mind for me. Like, I don't know any idea what's going on with them. And boom, you get this one, man, that's a kick in the mouth. They are going to be, it's beyond. I hope at this point all of their investors really truly understand that this isn't the economy. This is your company. It's just horrible at a horrible time. And the worst part is they're probably going to be able to stay around and waste even more money because of the economy. They're going to get, a much longer, they're going to be able to, cut salaries and lay people off, and people will hang around because it's like, oh, I don't want to find another job. It's a bad economy. Things will turn around. But it's just a dead company walking. That is unbelievable. That's crazy.
So there it is. There's your rim update.
That's thoroughly satisfying.
Oh man, that's awesome.
I
feel
Cool.
bad, just not that bad.
Yeah. this week, so do you tell me, James, did any of your websites crash this week?
No, I don't
Do
host my
you do
stuff.
you don't boy, see, this is the trick though. So earlier this week, GoDaddy took out like half the internet.
Yeah, I know.
It was pretty crazy. It was just like an hour long thing. But what ended up, they said ended up happening was, it was one of their domain name servers, so their DNS, that actually crashed. And basically what that has is it just holds a list of your domain name, so furloughbros.com, with the IP address of the server. So even though Furlough Bros is hosted by IX Web Hosting, who owns the who does our
GoDaddy
domain name server?
officially owns the URL.
Right, exactly. So yeah, Furlough Bros went down during that time. I was like not paying attention to anything, so I was not. Yeah, because, and that's the thing, is that the website was still up, because if you had the IP address, you could have gone and just typed in the actual IP address and hit the server and gone directly to Furlough Bros. Server location, but without the URL, wasn't going to happen. And the URL was because
Yeah,
pretty
so
interesting.
let me see this. I don't know if I can do this fast enough without it being awkwardly slow. But when did this happen?
Think it was Tuesday morning, might have been Monday.
Tuesday.
It was only like an hour-long thing. I mean, it's a blip. Nobody freaked out because it was small.
Yeah, we're okay. We have our big. Our big jump is always on Monday.
Right.
So I don't.
So, what I thought was interesting, and one of the things that really fascinated me about it is, it's like, I we long well beginning of the year, I read the book, Worm, which is that talking about Conficker, and they were talking about what a worldwide takedown of the internet would be, and they said that it would actually be a distributed denial of service attack via the domain name servers, because there's like 12 root ones and with a bunch of supporting ones, and clearly, if you can take down one of the domain name servers, even for a brief amount of time, it's like a super ugly scenario. And everybody kind of thought that GoDaddy, that's what happened to GoDaddy, actually, because a group that called themselves Anonymous came forward and said that they were responsible for it. And then GoDaddy, as soon as they had the situation in their hand, they came out and were like, no, it was a technical error. Which, really and truly, I'm not sure which one's worse. Oops, sorry, we took down half the internet by accident. Versus, we got attacked and we beat the invaders. Versus, we got attacked and we lost for an hour. So I don't know. It's kind of a, I don't, I, you know, thankfully it was a brief thing, but man, GoDaddy, just taking, they're taking hit after hit. This has not been a good year for GoDaddy. They're getting themselves beat. But
Yeah, wow. Bummer. For the GoDaddies.
Yeah, we'll see. So that was kind of an exciting Tuesday, which really kind of ended the excitement for the week. Nothing really
Yeah,
happened
that
after
was pretty
Tuesday,
much
right?
it. I think we're done actually, really.
Hey, all right, everybody, thanks for paying attention.
Yeah. No, I think there wasn't there something on Monday that happened? I think there was big news on Monday.
Monday?
I don't know. You just have something highlighted for Monday.
No, we can talk about that later. That's interesting, but
Okay.
we
So the
should
other.
just get to
All
it.
right, all right. So Wednesday, something did happen. The Earth stopped, and there might have been some. What was going on? You see, I don't even remember. There was something going on in like the Middle East or Europe area. Was it
Europe
Africa?
area. Actually,
I
that's the crazy part, was
don't
we
even
were
remember.
we Wednesday the 12th, we were dealing with the aftershocks of our second September 11th attack.
Yeah,
Where
that's what it was. That's what it
yes
was. There we go.
This is a big week
But
in world events, but
yeah, but clearly we don't care because there was an even bigger event going on in
right.
San Francisco.
Yeah,
Oh,
in our
man.
defense, this is a tech talk show, not a politics show, which it's unfortunate that people dying gets, bundled up into politics, but you can only talk about it for about 30 seconds before it becomes a political topic, so
Yeah,
I feel bad
no.
for the people who died, but I
Yeah.
didn't mean to laugh there. That was an awful thing to do.
I'm just laughing out of embarrassment for you.
I
Okay, so Apple had an event. They unveiled not just the new iPhone 5, but a whole bunch of things.
They unveiled the meaning to life.
Yeah, so just real quick in case you stumbled upon this and don't know anything about tech.
Which, welcome. Thanks for hanging out.
Yes, yeah.
If you have any questions, comments, we'll answer them as soon as possible.
Yeah, totally. So it's the iPhone 5, not the iPhone 6, whatever. Pretty much I don't think there was anything that we didn't know from it. It is a little bit bigger, it's a little bit thinner, a little bit lighter. The camera's better. FaceTime is better if you're not on AT&T. The audio is better. The lightning connector, depending on what camp you're on, is better. They also reviewed iOS 6, where we're getting rid of Google Maps. The notification, you can now tweet and post from Facebook instead of making notifications actually better. Safari has a full screen mode. Mail now has the VIP feature, which if you have to use that, you're doing mail wrong. There's now the photo stream sharing, which I am genuinely excited about. And Siri learned some new tricks. They also released a new iTunes, new iPods. The Nano has will no longer fit on your wrist, and but you got video, so there's that. It also has the longest battery life they've ever had in a Nano.
Oh
That
man.
was a quote on this. They released a new iPod Touch, which shocker is a little bit bigger,
Yeah.
and
It's an iPhone without the phone antenna
And
again.
it literally looks like I could snap it just like with my three fingers.
Oh,
Oh,
dude,
snap.
have you ever held an I a modern I like a current generation iPod
Yeah,
Touch
those are
without the
already
case?
like ridiculous.
Yeah, there I feel like I can't take it out. I have like an OtterBox, and I feel like I want a second OtterBox for my OtterBox. That's how flimsy they feel. It's incredible, but scary, man.
It's got the little iPod Touch loop that you can loop around your wrist. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What did I say for iTunes? You already hinted at the big one, which is the only one we really care about, is Ping is going to die. They did some reshuffling of information, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see. They gave some stats also at the very beginning. They're like number one in growth or something like that for operating systems or computer sales, or I don't forget what it is. They always measure it so they're number one. So there you go. The iPad, they sold a lot of those. In case you were
Yeah.
wondering, I did like his one quip where they were saying like last year they were 62% share, this year they're 68% share, but when you just look at web traffic, they're like 91% share. So Tim Cook was like, I don't know what they're doing with those other tablets, which I was like, that was funny. Actually, I like that he made the quip. Everybody laughed, and he should have just moved on. But then he continued with his joke, and it was like, oops, he should have just stopped. But that's okay.
Yeah.
And the App Store has like 700,000 apps, 250 specifically for the iPad. Basically, a lot.
Yeah.
So, there you go. If you're just new to tech and didn't know all that, I'm sorry. I just made it sound really boring, but there's
Yeah,
a lot. It was
it
actually
was
longer than I thought
fun.
it was. I was only expecting an hour-long thing, and it ended up being like an hour and a half because they went in and went ahead with the iTunes and iPod, which makes you go, "What the heck are they going to do in October?" Makes you wonder.
Well,
But
it's not really that much of a. Are we really wondering what they're going to do in October? I mean, are
not
we
really.
wondering?
No, not really.
13-inch MacBook with a Retina display and iPad mini. We're
So what
not.
I'm
Okay,
trying to
let's
figure out,
move on to
though,
November.
is if Okay, if the iPod Touch right now is however much it is, between $300 and $400, isn't that
Yes.
like, okay, the price range that people had been saying for an iPad mini, but like larger screen, more materials? I don't, help me out here. Because
Oh, I see what you're
literally,
saying.
the big version of the iPod Touch, $399, right, if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, is the exact same price as the 16 gig iPad 2.
Yes.
Okay, so, and we did that whole, like, what was that called? Remember that it was like that canopy umbrella of pricing thingy?
Right.
I, depending on how you classify an iPod Touch, which is an interesting debate all in its own, right?
Well,
I don't understand. How is that? Where's that going to fit in? Are they just literally going to price it less than an iPod Touch and just go,
I
oh,
think
it has to do
so.
with the memory?
Well, no, I don't think that. I think what they're going to say is they're going to tell if they have to defend it, which they probably will, and they're going to probably do it poorly because so far that's kind of the record on this sort of thing. The post Steve Jobs record is basically the iPhone costs $800. This an equivalent iPhone. It's twice as cheap as an iPhone, so an iPhone 5. So like, what are you guys complaining about? It's not subsidized. What are we supposed to do? If you guys want us to start, so if you want a subsidy on it, so it costs less, buy a stupid iPhone. Like that's going to be their argument, and they'll be right about that. But they're going to rely on the geniuses and the salespeople in the Apple stores to make that case, which is probably the best place to make that case. But that's going to be the argument. Unless they just don't price an iPad mini below that, which would be shocking.
Well,
Just the
you
very
can't because the iPad 2, unless they just drop the iPad 2 altogether and replace it with a mini. But I don't think they would do that. That's not their mode of operation right now.
I don't know. Maybe we're wrong about the iPad mini. Hey, let's get crazy. This might be the new normal for Apple. No innovation.
Just make truckloads of money for as long as we can.
Hey, it's not a terrible strategy when you put it that
It's working for
way.
HP and printing. I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna get in trouble one of these days. I already know it.
I was gonna say. Well, you're just being honest. Everyone's thinking it. You're just saying it out loud and getting fired for
Yeah, I'm the
it.
one guy who can't say it out, shouldn't say it out loud. That's not
Yeah.
true. I want to be. I want to know. HP's a straight shooter, you know? I. Anyways, don't get
Right.
sidetracked on that one. So, okay, all right.
So.
So, okay, I totally sidetracked you there from, the main event, which was the iPhone. So, what do you think? Did you already
Okay.
pre-order one?
Wait. Okay. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I did check Friday morning to see if I could pre-order one. But I wasn't
No.
going to, so it's
No.
yeah.
Sold out in
But
60 minutes. No.
yeah, it's pretty nuts.
But
And
the
they
two
started at
people who I
midnight.
know, no, the three people I know who were going to get it were able to get in on it in the first 60 minutes.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Two of which were tech guys, one of which was not, and actually didn't even know it was released until I told him and was like, "So, you staying up Thursday night?" And he was like, "Oh, really? Oh, okay." And he managed to get in on it. So
Wow.
I did my duty. I tried to talk
Man.
our grandmother into it, and she decided to wait until she could actually touch and feel one, which is fair.
So I'm taking it you didn't buy one.
Oh, I totally did. I'm kidding. I didn't at all. No,
Yeah, that's
mine is less than a year old, and I'm not paying the extra amount to
yeah, because you'd have to
whatever.
pay the full unsubsidized price,
Well,
which would
I'd
be
have to pay whatever it is in order to pay off my contract ahead of time, which is like another $130 or something like that. It's enough where I'm just
Oh, yeah.
like, it's not that much better of a phone that I'm going to spend another $100. Which my friend was like, "Whatever, dude, you're already spending like $2,400 or $1,200 a year just on data, and you're already spending $300 on the phone. What's another $100?" Like, oh, I guess when you put it that way, it's still $100. No.
That's, I don't know, like 10 movie tickets.
Well, and it's actually it's not
That's
$100, right? It's the 300 for the phone plus the $100.
Right.
We're talking about $400. That's a meaningful amount of money in my particular life.
Before taxes, now, and because sales, because they sales
I live
tax
in Oregon,
you
so I don't
on
worry
the
about
whole
that.
Cost. Oh, that's right. Man, I hate you.
Yes.
Anyways, okay. So this is what I want. I want your review. Get a quick grade. What's your grade on the A, the phone, and B, the presentation?
Oh, interesting. Okay. For the phone, I mean, they did. How did I describe it to my grandmother? I said basically they took what was already a good product and they just improved everything a little bit. And anytime you do that, you're like, all right, it's better. Is it like revolutionary, like magical, amazing? Did they sneak any new hardware in there like they've kind of tended to do previously, except they tried to make Siri count as that last time, which was definitely a software issue thing? No, they didn't. And all right, fine. You know, for me who likes new shiny objects, bummer. But they made a good product, an already good selling product, just that much better, somehow at the same price point. It's a good phone. I have zero qualms recommending it to people whatsoever, even never having touched it. You know, having played with this enough, you know, it's good. You know
when
what I mean?
You say this, you mean your
my
iPhone
4S.
4S.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know.
Since people can't see.
Yeah, that's true. You know, so it's a good phone. I have no, you know, problems whatsoever recommending it to somebody. If you're comparing it to like the Galaxy 3 or, you know, some of the other smartphones out there, like the ones that were all released last week, is it better than those? Honestly, I don't know. They're probably all comparable, honestly. My guess is that Apple's is probably a better build of, you know, just from a material standpoint. Still, just like always. They seem to have fixed that whole glass back problem. Not that it was really a problem, but, you know, complaint that you could score it and easily crack it. You know, so they solved that. You know, their whole, like, world's thinnest phone. I'm like, I don't care. I honestly, you know, whatever. Who cares? This is the one I currently have is a good size. I wasn't, man, like, I wish this was, like, 20% thinner. That's what I really, really wanted. You know, that's not going to put me over the line to suddenly buy it. As they know, it's the ecosystem. It's the apps. And it's the stability of the phone. Will it always turn on whenever I hit the power button? You know, if I want to download an app, can I do it? Yes. I honestly would have liked to see more stuff in iOS 6 that they kind of pulled out and went, oh, yeah, and it does this hocus pocus. That would have been cool. I kind of knew they weren't going to do it because of the developer conference, but you never know. You always kind of hold out hope that they slip in something at the very last second there that, you know, they didn't have to tell developers about, and from what I could tell, they couldn't, other than, like, the panorama camera thing, which I was like, that's awesome, which I'm pretty sure every Android fanboy is going to be like, oh, I've had that forever. Like, okay, good.
Yeah, man. They won't be like that. They were like that for the last half week. It's a past tense. Yeah, it's obnoxious.
Yeah. So,
worst part is that there's panorama apps for your iPhone. It's not like the iPhone had it. It just wasn't built in. You're like, come on, guys.
Well, I mean, I've played with some of those apps, and honestly, they're not to offend any panorama app makers that are listening, not that great. Because I was actually, well, no, okay, so not panorama, but I was interested in 360-degree apps because, as I have discussed many times, I own rental properties, and I was like, it would be pretty awesome to be able to give someone a 360-degree picture inside of all the different rooms so they could actually see it. What I really want is, like, an indoor Google Maps. That would actually be perfect. So someone could give their own selves a virtual tour, and I just, you know, just have to make sure to hit everything somehow. I don't know how that works, but then, you know, that would be cool. If that app exists, leave a comment. I will buy it, spend money on it, that kind of thing. If you know how to make it, let me know. Let's talk. Because that would be super valuable. But anyways, so I don't know. They weren't that great, but I like the idea of, I'm just babbling. So that was my opinion. It was a good phone. Obviously, I bought the previous gen and I fully enjoy it and have no complaints about it whatsoever. Of course, you know, they come out with a new one. I'm like, well, that'd be kind of cool. I'm not gonna go out and buy a new one, just because of it. It's not like that much better. But I also think, obviously, I had the 3G and I waited until the 4S to upgrade. So I, you know, it had to be really a whole lot better for me to upgrade to begin with. So
Yeah.
that's my thoughts.
Cool. So what about the presentation? The new boys.
You read stuff and Apple tries to tell you that it's not a one-man show and that like Phil Schiller was actually like super deeply involved with helping Steve put together the Steve notes and you know, and so you think, oh, okay, it's you know, it should still have some of that. What I have found just in the what has it been 3 or 4 without him now? What I have found is that they are noticeably more technical and a lot less of what are those demos, I guess. They've gotten more into the like, you know, to talk about it's 18% thinner and 20% lighter. Yeah, that might have been something that Steve would mention because he was into it. But he might go, it's really thin. You got to see this. And that would kind of be like the end of it. And you'd move on.
Right. You know what? And it's funny. It's the adjectives that Tim Cook detested. He notably used to he has said, I didn't like the superlatives. It's incredibly thin. It's really magical what they've done with this thing. Like, Tim Cook doesn't like that. He wants to know, okay, how thin is it? It's 7.359 micrometers. Okay, cool. Well, thank you for that. And now I know how thin it is. Really thin isn't good enough for him.
Yeah, and I sit there and you know they really started geeking out over the specs of the phone. And don't get me wrong, it is ridiculously impressive from an engineering standpoint what they have pulled off. But I think in the past they'd go, "Yep, we're not going to worry about it." And they're opening themselves up to a spec war by talking about some of these things. And I don't know if that's the route that they want to go. Like, here's an example. If Steve Jobs were around, I guarantee you, okay, that they would have done an example of how the Panorama app works. Let me show you how this works. And they would have done it of the audience. They would have brought up the house lights, and you would have had every single blogger in that room posting the picture and with a little arrow, here I am, check me out. And that photo and that feature would have been posted across every single one of those blogs. And a total missed opportunity that Steve Jobs would have done. And they didn't. They just went, oh yeah, it's got panorama. Check out these other photos we took. Aren't they amazing? Ooh, ah, so cool. Jobs, yes, he would show that, but then he would show you a demo of it. As didn't matter how dumb it was. Let me show you how shuffle works on the, you know, your iPod Touch. Check it out. You press a button, shuffle. I didn't know that song was coming. That's amazing. This is totally live, unscripted. You know, and they just they don't do that. They talk about specs and they talk. They talk and they talk and they talk. And there's a lot more numbers and information on PowerPoints than there used to ever be.
All right. So that was I tried to take it from two different levels. I tried to take it from, okay, what would Steve Jobs have done? And I agree with you completely. And then I tried to compare it to like other keynote addresses for big product launches from other companies. And I thought it was as good as any, probably better than everybody else. It's just, Steve Jobs was in a league of his own. It wasn't a tech demo. It was a piece of theater. Whereas this was a really, really, really well done, tight tech. We have a new piece of hardware that we're exhibiting, which is like that's so Tim Cook. It's not even funny. And a lot of the things that I think Phil Schiller was a part of are still there from, conveying different pictures and how they put together presentations and stuff like that. Like, a lot of those elements are still there,
Well, where
but it's
they very clearly go through, here are the problems that we addressed, And then, or here's the feedback we got, and here's our solution to each of them. Okay, now that we told you about each of them, now we're going to review all the parts to tell you all this value that we built into it, and then we're going to give you what the price is. And you're going to be happy with the
Right.
price because of all these benefits that we built into it.
Right.
And I guarantee you that's what he does, because that's exactly what a marketer would do. And he's good at it. But yeah, Steve was totally all about he would have figured out some way to still surprise you. Even if you had already
Right.
known that it was coming, he still would have acted as if like you didn't know and would have had that moment of, ha, I gotcha. And
Yeah.
they don't do that.
Which
Like
is
you
the
said, they just
classic.
go, here it is. Boom, let's get into it.
Right. Which was, his classic, oh yeah, and one more thing. Well, that's what that was all about. And, and somehow he managed to turn entire, keynotes into that, entire presentations into, oh yeah, and one more thing. Where the whole thing felt like, whoa, this is crazy and new and exciting, and Siri, oh my gosh, it's amazing and new and exciting. And yeah, Siri's a it's a cool iteration on existing technology. But that's all it was. It was an iteration on existing technology with a cool, branding name that you'd never heard of before. And that's yeah, I
So we could play the what if game, because why not? Let's say he was still around and in charge. Do you think he would have, there's two pieces to it, right? There was a total lack of secrecy, whether they meant to or not, I don't know. Which kills half the fun when you kind of already know everything going on. And then there's the other piece of it where when you don't add anything new, what's there to guess about? I know what a larger screen looks like. I don't have to guess how you implemented that.
Well, so okay.
And
So
so
this.
he didn't add it. Would he have pushed them to add something to say, yeah, it's great, I love it, we need to add one more thing while keeping it lighter and thinner? Would he have done that?
So I don't know. This is my thought.
I think so. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I
Based
agree.
on my intimate knowledge of him and how, he ticks.
Right. So this is my thought on the whole thing. And I've been coming back and forth. This is the in-depth review by Matthew Frillo. The phone itself is a great phone. Okay, what am I trying to say here? I'm
I
trying to
don't
put
know.
my thoughts together.
This is
Yeah.
so in depth,
So
it's blowing my mind.
I know it's crazy. So basically, what you got is you got this really nice piece of hardware. And what have we seen? Bigger screen, different bevels, different materials, improved manufacturing processes. They made a really big deal about the manufacturing processes, which I get super excited about, but most people couldn't care
My
less about.
grandma does not care. Just
Not in the least.
hi, grandma, by the
But
way.
yeah, but the end result is a very, very, a really cool piece of, piece of technology to hold. And that's one of the things that they're really good at is making that, wow, this really feels good in my hand. It hit all the necessary points it needed to make battery life, specs on your processor. One of the interesting things is they didn't blur out the picture of the A6 processor, which usually during presentations they obscure it. And one of the reasons why is because it has all of the markings on it for what it is. And if you know how Samsung's naming conventions work, you can deduce how much RAM is in it, how much what the process, the clock speed, stuff like that. Which once you take the phone apart, you can tell that. But on during the presentation, that was always a mystery because they obscured that information, and they didn't this time. So, so tech bloggers are able to go in, take pictures, and look that up right away. It's a gig,
Wow.
by the way, and of RAM. I was
Is that a
ten
lot?
sixty six.
I don't even know if I care.
Yeah, it's
Doesn't
no,
matter. It's
it's.
fast, right? And it's faster than the previous generation, however that's measured. Not the 5X, but the 5.
Right. Right, it's better, it's cool, it's a big improvement. But one of the things that really struck me about the whole thing was number one, yeah, like you said, there were no secrets, which is, one of the things to keep in mind is that that's not Apple's fault. That wasn't like the iPhone 4 getting leaked, where it was an Apple employee. It's all third-party guys that are leaking stuff, where you can see it. So you don't get the whole device. You don't know it, from end to end. But what strikes me is, the iPad, they made an acknowledgement, and the naming conventions are really important at Apple, or they were under Steve Jobs. But it's like, you had the iPad 2, and it seemed like it was going to be going the same way that the iPhone was going, where each device got a new name. And then they came up with, when they got to the iPad 3, quote unquote, they named it the new iPad. And they have this branding thing where now it's just the iPad, and there's not what they're trying to say, I think, in that name is this is a mature technology. It's like the MacBook Pros. You don't name the MacBook Pros a different name every time they get a different body or every generation. The iPods, you don't get something new. They say, no, this is the iteration that we're on. This is the final design. Now, everything from here on out, all we're going to do is just make minor changes. But the essentials of how it works, this is it. It's the 13-inch MacBook Pro. It's the 15-inch MacBook Pro. And only when there's really something truly differentiating, where they really need, where they want to draw your attention to it, do they add stuff in like it's the 15-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display, which is the longest name of all time. I don't feel like Steve Jobs would have let that name slide. But trying to get away from the fact that this is like, what would Steve Jobs have done for myself? Kate, can I ask you a favor?
Yes.
The echo is, I can hear myself really, really loudly. I realize that none of our audience can hear me, but is there any way to, it's super distracting.
I don't know.
Okay.
You'd have to experiment offline. Sorry, I don't hear it.
It. All right, because I'm like as loud as myself. I'm as loud as you. Which is weird. I don't know what that is. Anyways, sorry. Back to my rant. So this is what my thought was. So there's a lot of really impressive things about it, and when you compare it to the other ones, and this is an article that came out, that compared the Galaxy S3 to the Droid Razr HD, compared to the Nokia Lumia and the iPhone 5, and they went spec by spec, and they basically just said, okay, let's look at all your major specifications, not any, we're not going to look at all the different software things you can do, but just hardware. And basically what they showed was that these are all the same device. They all have very similar specs, and one of the big things that they like you get into with it is that, the iPhone 5, obviously software makes a big difference on how well a piece of hardware performs. So the iPhone 5 or like the 4S often beat its competition in benchmarks, not because it had better hardware, but because it had better integration between the software and
Yeah, hardware
hardware.
is optimized for the software, or other way around.
Right,
But
and
yeah.
it's like, the camera, yeah, it's an 8 megapixel camera, but it was beating 12 megapixel cameras because it's just better software. And that's better lenses, better. That's the sort of thing that Apple does, and they've definitely done this with this one. And I think I agree with a lot of people where they say, this is going to be a first in class device at the same price as everybody else. It's just going to be great. And one of the things that I've noticed, though, is that it's like the Galaxy S3, obviously last month it outsold the iPhone 4S. It took a little bit of time, but,
Yeah, but how much of that is because we all knew what was coming in October?
well, yeah, no. I mean, I agree that is true, but like, they weren't even in the same ballpark as iPhone. They didn't beat the 4 sales when the 4S was coming. They weren't in the same ballpark. And what my point is that slowly Android, from a sales
Okay.
perspective, is starting to catch up. And they didn't do anything to really set themselves apart from the herd this time. I don't know. I get frustrated by the fact that it's like, it's this great phone, but in 2 or 3 years, Android's going to come out with their Google glasses, and
Well, how much of that
and
do you think is, Apple's obviously they're moved on from the iPods. That is not their number one focus anymore. They still do improvements to make it better, but clearly they're not pushing the envelope on that.
well, this
How
is
much do
my
you want to bet
point.
that they're, okay, I don't want to steal your thunder, but all right.
Okay, this is what I was leading up to is this idea that what they feel like is that this is a mature technology. It's like the iPods. It should have been named the iPhone. It shouldn't have been named the iPhone 5. Number one, it doesn't make any friggin' sense. This is the sixth generation of the phone. Why are we calling it the iPhone 5? And you skipped, you guys skip all over the place when it makes sense, but no, we're gonna. Yeah. They named it something that it doesn't deserve that name. It is simply an iteration on the previous devices. And like they said, Johnny Ives made a really big point about this is we don't just change it for the sake of changing it. We're very, very cognizant of it. And that goes two ways. Number one, that means we're going to add, if we're going to change something, we're going to think about it a lot. We're not going to make it any wider. We're going to make it taller. That's it. We need a little more space, but not a big thing. But likewise, if we don't make a change, assume that we thought about it a lot, that we made a real dedicated, we wanted to do it the way we did it. And I appreciate the fact that Apple did that, but I think they're wrong. I think that they are really wrong about the idea that this is a that okay, the mobile phones are done, and now we just have to stay on top of, basic hardware components and make it the best. I really think that it's like, you're not going to have any revolutions like you did back when the iPhone was launched, but I just find it hard to believe that the idea that like wireless charging, and this is something that, man, I've been getting on this forever, but it's like you've gone completely wire-free on everything about this device. There are no wires involved in it. For data transfer, you can do everything wirelessly, and you've got this like super standard technology of, wireless technology. You put it on a little pad and it charges it. You're changing the cord. It's like the perfect time to say, look, you can buy this new cord. We got this new stuff. But what our goal here is to get you completely wireless. We need a port because we need a port. You'll always need some sort of a data plug. But we want you to never use these. That's our goal. We think that this is a dead technology because because it is. And that's the thing is that everything they do is pointing to the fact that they think wired technology is going the way of the dodo. And you sit there and you go, so it's like, sometimes they hang on, people get upset about the 30-pin dock connector going away, which number one, it was a standard for nearly 15 years. Like, Apple never holds on to things for 15 years. They get rid of standards so fast it like makes your head snap. They held on to this thing long beyond its useful lifespan, and they needed to move on to something that was truly, new. And people get all angry. You're like, it's a 10-year-old standard. The floppy disk didn't make it that long. Like, what are you people? Like, CDs are dying. Now we got DVDs, but no, it's okay when everybody else does it, but when Sony wants me to update my entire movie collection to Blu-rays, no, I can deal with that, even though I just bought my DVD 5 years ago. That's cool. But when Apple wants you to upgrade to a new dock connector, it's like a world is ending. And the crazy part about it is it's more forward compatible because they're all digital pins, and they said they can use them for anything. So it's like it actually is the best way to do it. It's what the 30-pin dock connector should have been if they could have done it, 15 years ago, and they held on to it forever. And so okay, the dock connector will be at least around for 15 years, which will or 12 years. We can expect another 10 years of useful life out of this dock connector, and maybe more because it's even more compatible than the last one.
So I think, I don't know. I'm sure Phil Schiller thinks a lot about this. I don't think Steve Jobs thought much about it, and I don't know what Tim Cook thinks about it. But is it possible that, okay, the phone may not be a mature technology, but it has matured a lot in the last 5 years, And clearly there's a ton of competition, right? And they're not going to own that market. I mean, is that's fair to say, right? But I also think that they have another product on their hand where they stand a chance of owning the market and raking in gobs of money. And if you were a company and you had, limited amount of time, you got a year, obviously unlimited amount of money, but limited amount of time. Which one are you going to focus on? Where are you going to pour your heart and soul into it? The one where you can own it and then do whatever you want? Or the one where you got a, fierce competition, constantly being compared, and quite honestly, it's a smaller device, which limits your options. If I had the choice, I'd focus on the iPad. That's where I would shift everyone's mental focus and effort and say, let's do some really crazy stuff with the iPad. Let's focus on some big innovations there. Now, if they get to March and they don't do that, I'm going to be sorely disappointed. Heck, even with the iPad Mini, if they don't do like NFC or some of those, the touch cool thingies, I'm going to sit there and go, what have you guys been
The
doing?
what?
You were talking about like the different touch
Oh, some sort
sensor.
of hepatic
Yeah,
feedback
touch
stuff where you
feedback.
can.
Yeah, if they don't do something like that, I'm not saying it has to be that, but something like that, I'm going to sit there and be like, what have you guys been doing with all of your time? Really just trying to figure out better ways to manufacture these things so that they're more
Well,
precise.
and make,
But so all I'm saying is that they can, if I were in charge of Apple, which I'm not, that's another disclosure. I would say, you know what? The phone is awesome. Let's continue to make improvements because that's what we do. But let's now shift our investments and our engineers' time and effort to the iPad. And let's do something crazy remarkable with that. I mean, that was the original vision, anyways. And then as they create cool things with the iPad, of course, the phone's going to inherit it, which is a little bit opposite of what we have been seeing.
Yeah,
And
that's
then what you
possible.
say is, okay, look, we own the post PC tablet market. We own it, and people are going to buy it, and then they're just going to buy iPhones. And we don't have to do a ton of R&D and a ton of research. All we got to do is figure out, okay, we made this new cool thing in the iPad. How do we put it into a smaller device? And we have, a few months to figure that out. And they do that. And they go, we don't have to own the phone market. Who cares about competing? All we'll tell our geniuses and our store salespeople is, look, you got an iPad. Every single one of your apps is going to work on an iPhone. It's going to be awesome. You don't have to buy a new pin connector anymore because now they're all the same. Whatever. And if you own a Mac already, you know what I mean? They're just that. If it were me, and it were my, and I were making the strategic decisions on how to spend money, at Apple, which that's got to be a fun conversation to have. For them, the limit's time, right? It's not money. But anyways, that's what I would be
this
saying.
and I and like I guess what you I guess I understand what you're saying, where it's like they've been consistently coming out with one really cool innovation a year, whatever that is. One year it's one year it's the iPhone, the next year it's apps, the year after that it's 3GS. 3GS is boring.
Well, and I would
The
say
next year it's
last year was weird. They did a bad job last year, right? And because they came out with a new
need
iPad
Siri.
and the new iPhone, sure, fine. They had Siri, but I honestly think that last year they were distracted by the fact that their boss was dying. I think that was a huge distraction for them, whether they're going to admit it or not. And they kind of had to sit there and go, okay. What are we gonna do now? And even Cook in his DX interview was like, it took me a while to move on and say, okay, this is my company, I'm gonna take the reins now. And this was the year where you're like, okay, fine. You did at least one cool thing every year for the last few years. It was a while. Last year, and you did iterative improvements. Yeah, Siri was cool, and perhaps that was harder to pull off than we know. And maybe on the back end, that was ridiculously difficult, and I just don't appreciate that. That's highly possible. And maybe that is the beginning of the next era that they're setting up. And they'll talk about, oh, we did iCloud, and that was a big deal. Okay, fine, I guess. And maybe that, and you know, and I just don't see a lot of it, which is why hardware is cool and sexy and people like new hardware and don't get crazy about new software. I just would like to see something. It would have been nice to see something interesting this year, and I realize there's still this October event and maybe or something, and they could do the mini then, and then there it is. I got what I wanted. But I really think that next year is a critical year for them, because next year is when you go, okay, any hands-on development that Jobs had is done. Because there's still a chance that he got to touch the iPhone 5, right? And
well, you know, the reality of it is, the reality of it is that Steve Jobs gave them a projected, hey, this is what I would do. This is what I would be trying to do for the next 10 years.
I'd like to see if they're on track with that. That'd be kind of nice to know.
Right.
Even just a year into it.
Yeah, and you know, the reality of it is that you can't stay on track with it because things change and you know you got to roll with the punches. But you know, I guess, like, you know, I guess for me is it's I just feel like, man, I feel like Google is still pushing the innovation thing, and Apple has moved fully into safety zone. You know, and like the perfect example is you know, is it, you know, in I, you know, I hate to be super critical about this, but you know, advertising, it's like Google really has picked up all the slack on the coming up with great ads. You know, it's like the Google Fiber
ad.
Dude,
that Nexus ad was dumb, just so you know. Brilliant. But okay, I haven't seen that one, okay, so maybe cool. That one's good.
Well, you know, they're hitting. Well, it's like the Google Fiber ad was brilliant, and like I recommend you all. It'll actually be linked because I want to talk about it a little bit later. But it's one of those things where it's like they did their Google search ads a while back, and you know, they've got these like, wow, really kind of inspiring ads, and Apple's like moved full into, no, now we have to manage our market and we can't inspire people anymore because that's too confusing. No, we just got to stick with, you know,
dude, I thought their
like,
iPod
oh, come
ad
on.
Was awesome.
Which one was that?
They showed it at the end
end
of the keynote. They showed it after they showed the iPods. They're like, "Hey, we made a new ad."
Oh, I totally missed that.
Oh, it was my opinion. It's a really cool one where it's like got crazy music and the iPods are bouncing around to it, kind of like Ghostbusters and the toaster, you know, style. But they're constantly like separating and then coming back together.
Okay, you know, I've seen that with the color, yeah, all the different colors that they have now and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
I thought that one was cool.
Which, you know, yeah, that was cool. It was cool. I guess I don't know. Like, I feel like when the iPods first came out, one of the things that they did really well with the advertising was like they would pick songs that were these kind of underground songs that all they really needed to do was catch a bigger audience, and they'd catch fire. They were great songs. They just weren't being pushed on the radio. And Apple would find these songs and put them on there, and they would like make bands with these commercials. And they were inspiring because it wasn't just, you know, it's like, to me, like that packs so much information.
I was like, they did that with Black Eyed Peas, I felt like.
Right. And, you know, it's like you're not just talking about, you know, like those original commercials. It was like, you know, they had the whole hipster cool color thing going on, like, oh, man. But they were also like they were communicating so much about the type of person that uses an iPod. It's somebody who's into music. I mean, really into music. Like, do you like to dance? Do you like colors? Do you like art? Do you like underground music? Do you like cool clothes? Do you like being cool? Do you like being on the it scene? Then you need one of our iPods. I mean, like, it's classic marketing, but they pack so much, so many different angles of that same thought into one commercial. And that's like with the Google Fiber thing. It's like one of the things that I really like about it is that it starts out and it's like it's this like play set with all these cars that are like going around and trying to like move, and it starts off in like the dial up era, and everything's going really slow, and it's just really like the music is, it's not bad, it's just it's all like 6-bit, or it's like all 8-bitty, and like there's no real song there. And then they get to the to the DSL era, and the song starts to resolve itself, and I know this song, so I'm like, oh, I know this song. What is this song? I think this is the Cars, the one that I want. What's the name of the song now? It's something about the one that you need. And then you hit like the Google Fiber phase with everything really fast, and the song fully resolves, but they never sing the lyrics. It's the song by the Cars, and you got a bunch of cars going around, and it's about I need you. And it's just like they've got all these different and just like how the art of how they do it and what they're communicating. You sit there and you go like, man, there's so much information packed into this commercial that most of it just kind of washes over you that, you know, unless you know what you're listening for. And Steve Jobs always got into, and it's right at the intersection of where technologies meet humanities. It's about communicating the idea that we're trying to get away from the technology and bring you the experience that it was there, that it was designed to give you. We're trying to make, to make the human experience better, which is why Apple got away with so much of the garbage that they got away with, the reality distortion field, and they just like uses the unbelievable marketing campaigns where you'd be like, how can any company actually get away with this? And it's because they backed it all up with this idea of trying to get out of the way of the music, get out of the way of the experience. And I just feel like, you know, with the latest iPod or iPhone, it's like, number one, how they displayed it, they didn't get out of the way of the experience. The phone totally got in the way. And which, ironically, it's like what you say about the demos. You know, the demos that Steve Jobs did were all about taking your attention away from the phone and turning your attention to what it will allow you to experience. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Google right now, that's in their bones. They've got the, you know, we're trying to, you know, and now Android, not so much. But Google as a company, they're way more about that than some of their divisions. Android right now is a brutal all-out war for phones. It's all about the phone, and I've got the Galaxy S3, and it does this, this, and this, and I got the Droid Razr HD, and it's this thin, and, you know, and even, you know, Nokia got suckered into that, like, right out the gate. We want to beat them on specs, and I feel like you said, and I feel like this is going to be a really big problem for them, that the iPhone 5 just walked into the ring, and it's like, the iPhone has always been only incrementally better than everybody else, but it's always the experience that they are able to convey has been just fantastic. And that's why ultimately I think I will get a smartphone probably this year, and it will be an iPhone 5, but it's not because of how they presented it. It's because they did it all wrong, and yet in its core, it's still the iPhone. And that's what gets me, is it's like, I don't feel like we got any of that experiential stuff, and there's nothing like explosive or exciting. They didn't do anything like, you know, and maybe you're right that they're, I hope you're right that they're saving it up for the next iPad, you know, and you know, the iPad's going to become, you know, their main focus. And
but even still, you bring up a good point that they, even in their presentation, though, they didn't show that off. They just talked about specs and did, you know, one demo to show, check out these graphics,
right,
you know, instead of, I don't know, I just, it was, yeah, it wasn't as much as it should have been, and even if they had, you know, nothing new to show.
It's fine, it's a, you know, it's a tech demo, it's not a theater performance, like,
well, and it used that, to be, unfortunately.
Right, and that's the thing, is that that's the reason why people got excited, that's the reason why news talks about it, that's the reason why Apple is Apple, is because those sorts of – they sweated those details. And all of this, you know, comes to – you know, gets wrapped up in the performance of it. And, you know, honestly, I think that they don't mind as much that stuff is being leaked. They don't mind like Steve Jobs minded. I think it really got under Steve Jobs' skin. Like,
well, sure. It's not a show anymore, but
– right. Exactly.
Just do a press
so
release,
why would you
I guess.
Care if there are – yeah. Yeah, exactly. Why would you
care? Other
than care?
They do get the coverage still. I don't get it, man. They've got such an opportunity to make a show. They should just put in the extra effort and do it. Even if it's a
Well,
bad
and
show, it doesn't matter.
yeah, and it's just, I don't know. I don't know, man. It makes me nervous for the company in a way that it's like, Microsoft's building some fantastic technology. I
Yeah,
don't think the
I think
Windows
from
8
a
is going to sell.
no, I the presentation's different than the bones of the company. I think they're still going to
Well,
make
and
good
what the
products. They're just
what
not
what
going to
my
show them very well. And they're still going
well
to
and what
sell a
my
ton
point is
because, I
that.
mean, who sees the presentation? The point of the presentation is to impress the bloggers so that they write stories and talk about it because normal people don't watch that. We're the only ones
Right.
who watch that stuff. They might
Yeah, but
watch their short video.
they watch the commercials. You get like 30 seconds to a minute to leave an impression. And the commercials are just they don't inspire you to think different. They don't inspire you to, bring down Big Brother and buy a Mac. They don't do that. They've distanced themselves from that in every measurable way,
Well, they
is what I
have
guess
to
I'm getting at.
because they are Big Brother. I mean, they can't do those
Well,
same
I don't,
commercials.
but I, well, they can't do the Big Brother. They can't do the think different, but they can though. That's the thing, is it like they got away with it. They got away with being an inspiration for the longest time. And maybe they can't, you turn down the rebel volume a little bit, but I still think you really need to crank up the, hey, we're really all about you being human and making the human experience better for everybody. And these are how you experience, it's like the FaceTime commercials. Those are all about
Agreed.
people like crying and like, oh man, it's Skype has had this forever. Why are we excited about this? But yeah, like those commercials, man, made you feel like it was actually something special, like it was something different because they had people, crying because they got to see their baby from halfway across the country. And the thing is, that's what makes Skype great. That is why Skype is so amazing. And that is why FaceTime is so amazing. And the difference is, Skype doesn't know how to tell you that. And Apple did. And that's why Apple is who they are, got to the size that they did, is because they could take technology and they could convey what the point of it is without, they could make it intuitive without having to just sit down and tell you, look, you can watch your baby being born from halfway across the country. I don't know. It drives me nuts. And it's like with the dock connector. They don't tell you why that this is like, they don't mention the fact that this has been a standard forever. This is something we did for you. This is other technologies that have died, and this is where we're going with this. And like, get excited because this is the future, and this is why it's amazing. You can make, and I hate to keep throwing Steve Jobs out there, and so I won't. I'll just say we could make the dock connector interesting. I can make the dock connector interesting. Everybody I talk to, I get done talking to them and they shrug their shoulders and go, yeah, I guess that makes sense. That's all I really want, is I just want people to say, yeah, I guess that makes sense. And it takes me like 30 seconds to explain the idea of you can buy third-party adapters that won't be a problem. They'll be cheap. They'll come quickly. You can get, you don't have to go through the $30 Apple one, and it's better technology, and they're going to keep it around for a while. It just change sometimes has to happen. You got to get over that. And people go, oh yeah, okay. And Apple didn't do that. For whatever reason, they just expected that to get across somehow. And then they tried to enter the ring with Google S and the Droid and the Nokia, and they can't, they're not so far ahead where they're the clear winner. Whereas from the experience perspective, what it feels like to hold the phone, that's where they've always won, and
But
that's
even
like the
then,
major
all they're going
element
to
of.
do is repeat everything they've said the previous year. The experience is exactly the same. It's just
Yeah,
a little bit different.
but all they need
Literally,
to
their
do is to
story is the fact
remind
that it's a
you.
different hardware. They didn't add anything. They didn't add any new features. There's no story there. But they're really going to sit there and bore me with repeating everything I already know? No,
Well,
they're
there's
not
like
going to do
the,
that. They told what was new,
they
and that was the
oh man,
manufacturing
that
and the
is
hardware.
no, that is so not, that is not fair, because all FaceTime was video chatting. That's all it was, and
Well,
yet they made
no.
it seem new and interesting.
That was new for them.
Yeah, but every year they come out with different stuff, and There's small iterative improvements. And like you said, the panorama is the perfect example, my perfect counterpoint here. They didn't do anything with that. They didn't inspire you. They didn't make you feel like this is an awesome new thing and you got to get excited for it. It's just everything. It just felt very mediocre. And, obviously it's a cool piece of hardware, but, the fundamentals for them was, where humanities meets, technology. And that had been the fundamentals for, since Steve Jobs had come back. And really, truly, that was the fundamentals of what just Steve Jobs started. He just hadn't put those words to it yet. And, it's, I don't know. And I feel like they're deviating from that path. So even though the technology's still great, it's like they're not going to do as well. And then I really feel like they shied away from the big one of like an NFC. Yeah, okay. Embrace Bluetooth 4.0 full on. Make my device location aware, close location aware. Obviously you can't do the bump to share, but do something like the shake to share. I don't know. Something similar. People want that. Introduce that technology and say, look, we're paying attention. They made this big deal about the fact that, well, NFC doesn't make sense to do right now because you can't do transitions. There's no infrastructure and companies don't want it yet, so we're not going to do it yet. We're going to do it once there's a standard out there because that makes sense. We don't need to push this. And you sit there and go, yeah, but that's not all they do with NFC. They do all sorts of other things with NFC. Why not at least put it in there with Bluetooth? You've got the foundations. Why not do something to get people excited? But they didn't. And I still think the wireless charging is a big deal. Every other major company out there, HTC and your HTC, BlackBerry, not BlackBerry, HTC, Motorola, Samsung, all have a version of the phone that have wireless charging. Palm, come on, man. Palm was able to get that stuff under there. And I think if you could really get the only time I ever plug my iPod Touch anymore is to charge it. That's the only time. And if you could have a little cheap, obviously when it's Apple, it wouldn't be cheap, but like a little pad that if you were to put it down on, it would charge it, and somebody else you could license that technology so somebody else could do it for half the price. Man, I think people would really get behind that, and they would have been way more okay with a different dock connector if you told them the whole point is I never want you to dock connect again. I feel like that's something people would have gotten excited about. And even though it's not new by any means, it's the sort of thing that only Apple can do because they've got the iCloud integration, they've got the scale where they could do it, and they could get people earnestly excited about the idea that you never have to, we're getting rid of we told you we were serious about cutting the cable, and we're dang serious about cutting the cable. We're doing everything we can to get rid of it. And really, driving that home. I think that would have been a huge winning message for them. It's something that they believe in, and I think they just shied away from it for reasons because they wanted it to be 18% thinner instead of, 10% thinner. I would have loved for it to have been a little bit thicker and had wireless charging, and I really believe that that's the reason why they didn't do it. It's because there was a thickness thing. They just didn't want it to be any thinner, any thicker than it was. They wanted to get that. They wanted to be thinner than the thickest part of the Motorola Razr, HD, because then they could claim to be the thinnest phone in the world and get away with it. And I don't think that was worth it for them. I don't think people are asking for that. I think they made a bad trade-off there. Some really obvious technologies that they decided to skip, and it's because they think it's a mature technology. I really think that that's the problem. Is it's no, this is what the phones will be from here on out. We're not going to change them. They're too integrated, and I don't know. I just, man, you're going to make changes, go big or go home. And they didn't go big and they didn't go home. They just kind of puttered. Drives me
Wow.
nuts.
Wow. So I would say two things. First, before you can say that they're lost their, appetite for innovation, we got to wait at least a year to see what happens.
Well,
Because one
and
point is not enough.
to be totally fair, I can't say that they lost innovation because they're hunger for innovation because clearly like there's all sorts of hardware, you know, actual manufacturing stuff. Like I don't want to downplay that. That stuff's dang impressive, and it's the reason why it costs what it does from a cheapness perspective, and the build is as amazing as it is. Like they do some crazy cool stuff. Like they're still doing it. And the fact that it's 18% smaller, thinner is really impressive. Like I'm not trying to play down the fact that it is an engineering marvel. The thing is that the real big, you know, step that they could have taken that was, you know, the really obvious ones that would have been really easy to turn into great marketing things. I feel like they
Well,
passed
it's
on
not
them,
necessarily
you
about
know?
great marketing. It's about things that would have enabled new uses and been very beneficial to users, or more
Yeah.
beneficial. You know, size and weight are very low on the I want scale at this point in the game. You
Right.
know, it doesn't have to be 20% thinner. It just doesn't. It's
Right.
okay.
Everybody wants a bigger screen anyways. You know.
Yeah, I think they could have, like you said, they could have kept it the same thickness, maybe even added a little bit of weight, a little heft to it to give it more battery life, and I think it would have been okay. But
Right.
you know, and then
Yeah.
they could have installed the other stuff. And I don't know what their plan is for next year, but it's gonna be weird how you sell that one. Oh yeah, it was the world's thinnest last year. It's not anymore. We made it thicker because we added a whole bunch.
Well,
But I think, like I said,
it
I
got
think we have
thicker.
until next year to see what they end up doing. And just I would like to rather also just point out after this nice long rant that you are still gonna get one.
Oh yeah, like I said, it's an engineering marvel. It's just
You're just whining about the
I'm
presentation. I got it. Got it.
yeah.
You just don't like the way they did it. Fair enough.
Man, I get hypercritical about everybody. Like I gotta, you know, it's Apple doesn't get to get a pass just because they're Apple. They get a pass everywhere else. I want to be, you know, I want to be. If I'm gonna criticize everybody, I gotta criticize everybody, you know. And you know, I come back. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's like the Nokia Lumia, man. That's a cool looking phone. If it didn't have Internet Explorer, I'd seriously think about it. You know, and the Galaxy 7 or the
You got to
Galaxy
play
S,
with the new
man.
one now. See how that works out.
The 920.
I say before you commit to getting the
Oh
phone,
yeah.
you got to
Yeah.
play with all the hot to trot ones. Become an
I'm doing
Android
the f
fanboy. Complete your destiny, Luke, and it will be good.
I'm gonna do the full rounds, man. You know, 'cause the Galaxy, you know, the Galaxy S got a pretty sweet like set of cool little
I mean, it'll
features
be
that it
old by the
does.
time you get around to it, but you know,
I
you
know,
gotta whatever
seriously.
the new one is, the Galaxy S7.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's the one you'll have to look at. You know, what is that, 3 months from now? That one's gonna be coming out.
Right. Yeah. Something like that.
Just make sure you
But
really like that phone because you're not gonna get any more updates. So just make sure that's the one
yeah.
you want.
Right. That's yeah. Yeah. Good point.
I had a friend who was whining. He's like, man, I have to wait a whole week before I get iOS 6. That's so lame. I was like, really? Good thing you have an iPhone. Jeez. If you were
Yeah.
on an Android, this would be really sad.
Right.
It's like, yeah, I guess you're right. Man, talk about expectations. Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
Are you gonna upgrade to iOS 6?
of course, no
Yeah,
brainer.
I'm thinking I'm not going to on my iPod Touch. My iPod Touch is already lagging pretty bad just with their normal over-the-air updates that they're doing, and I'm afraid of what's going to happen with the new operating system, to be totally honest. I think I might avoid taking that
Fair
plunge
enough.
because.
My wife is going to avoid it until I can prove to her that mine's not slower.
Right. Good luck. That's how they convince you to buy new phones, James. Everybody knows
Well, I
Apple,
figure the
Steve Jobs.
first one can't be too bad. It's the second or
No.
third one. That's the one where you got to be careful.
Right. Yeah, that's the real problem. It's my iPod Touch is designed for iOS 4.
Yeah, which I think you could do five, and you know it's
Right, and
okay.
it's 5 has been great. You know, up until about the last month. It started making little changes, especially to the podcast in the iTunes store. Man, it's been awful. It's like super slow. It takes like I get a daily radio down show that I get as a podcast. They have 4 hours, which they do as each hour is a
slightly
a separate
annoying
show.
Just for the record.
Yeah, yeah. I don't love it, but it used to be like you'd open up the thing and then you'd click on each one, the download each one. The whole process would take like a minute and a half. And now it's like I open up iTunes or iTunes Store, and
this is on the touch.
On the touch, it takes like 2 minutes for it to like fully load up everything. I click the first one, and it like does the animation. It takes like it takes like 45 seconds for it to be ready to download another one. The whole process takes like 6 minutes now.
Wow.
It's like four times longer, which I know is like a first world problem on a scale that, you know, almost can't be measured, but it's super annoying. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, really.
But I don't know. Ugh. Okay.
I just want the built-in turn-by-turn. That's my only Android envy that I have.
That does look pretty sweet. I'm glad they...
And I keep reading stuff of people who are like, oh, it's going to be worse. Google's way ahead on maps. It can't be anywhere near it. I'm like, well, okay. Well, let's wait until it actually gets out before we decide that.
Right. I mean, it may not be as good, but...
Well, what's going to happen is people are going to have the same super critical eye that we just had on the presentation, where normal people are not going to care. But geeks are going to be like, whoa, Apple missed the fact that there was construction last Thursday on this road.
Right. Google didn't miss it.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Come on. Or, you know, they didn't know this one point of interest.
Right.
Total fail.
Yeah. Like, well, on their first iteration of the map. Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately, you might have to give it 2 or 3 years for it to be super robust. It probably won't be as good, but that's not the point. You know, it's, you know, they couldn't do what they wanted to do. And now they can, you know, give it a little time, guys. Chill out.
Yeah, they're not going to. It's got to be better than in order to justify the Switch.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that's the biggest. That's Microsoft's uphill battle, you know. But, you know, it is better. It's got turn by turn navigation. Google wouldn't give them turn by turn navigation.
Yeah, really.
You know, it is better. It's just not. It's not better than, you know. It's not so, you know. I don't know what people would expect otherwise. This is the compromise that you get. You want a turn by turn navigation for free, you get it. It's not going to be as great at first, you know. Chill out. But like you said, it's only going to be the chattering classes of the tech industry that are going to care at all. Real people are going to be like, wow, look, it's got turn by turn navigation for free. That's awesome.
Yeah, Apple's
really. So amazing. You know? And they got flyovers, so I can like see stuff in 3D. It's great. That definitely hits my, you know, you know this about me. I don't know how much we've talked about it, but like, I don't care about graphics in video games. It's like the least impressive thing to me. Like, I want a fun game, immersive story. The graphics can be terrible. I'm fine. And that's definitely, look, we've got improved graphics. I'm like, I don't care. What functionalities does that give me? I want a better map that runs faster. I want downloadable content. Why are you talking to me about 3D flyover? Does it pop out of the screen as a hologram? Okay, I might. Honestly, I'll give it. You know, I'll give it to Nintendo. That's like the first time, pretty much since I started playing video games, where they came out with like 3D, and I was like, well, you know, handheld device, glasses ran. I went, well, okay. Maybe that's cool. That's just like a graphics thing, and I'm kind of into that.
Yeah, but like, even then, that, it's I'm all like impressed. For all of 5 minutes, and then you're like, okay.
No, my attention span on the 3D, for whatever reason,
really,
yeah, has it's hung around. I get really excited about glasses free 3D, like people get excited about, you know, improved graphics on their, you know, Xbox 790 or whatever, you know. But they don't have that. All it is flyover. It's just better. It's just better.
Yeah.
You know, better animation. I don't care.
Well, we'll see. Once I download it and try it, I'll let you know if it's good or not.
Nice. Okay. Anything else go on? I feel like we've.
Dude, was that?
Flogged this one pretty good.
Let me see here. Let's see here. NFC. You said that is a big deal. We talked about the comparisons. What's something about simultaneous voice and data on Verizon?
Oh, this
and Sprint?
Is actually, Yeah, this was an interesting little hiccup. So you know how like AT&T for the longest time has advertised the fact that they're able to do both.
I love
So they're
it.
able to do simultaneous talk and voice,
That's why
where
I
they
stick with
can.
AT&T. Believe it or not, that is
Right,
literally the only
and
reason.
Verizon and what?
That is literally the only reason. Otherwise, I would kick mom and Lisa to the curb and go to Verizon.
Nice. Yeah,
And
and
you,
I
I
stick.
guess. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I'd come along, if you'd let me. But yeah, so so everybody was like, "Cool, we're going to 4G LTE. Now everybody will have simultaneous voice and text." And Thursday came around, and yeah, by the way, the iPhone 5 will not have simultaneous voice and text.
Really?
Voice and data on the yeah on
Wow.
Verizon and Sprint, and it's so funny because they came out with a press release and Verizon was like, it's Apple's fault. Apple decided to do this. This was an Apple design thing. This was not our decision. We did not want this. Apple did it. And so everybody was like, why would Apple do that? Apple always pushes you guys. Apple's always the one that's like flogging you to go further. So they actually looked into it. Well, it turns out what happens is 4G LTE cannot handle talk yet.
Oh.
Which, yeah, I didn't know that. I was kind of surprised by that. I guess they're expecting it to happen in the next year or two.
So how
But
is this
all it does is,
Verizon's fault or not Verizon's fault?
yeah. So basically, what happens is on the Verizon version of the phone, when you go to talk, it activates the 3G antenna. And the CDMA antenna, which can only do voice and can't do data, whereas with the with on AT&T, it does the same thing because the LTE antenna can't do voice on AT&T either. But it kicks back to the last generation, which is, oh, I can't remember the name now,
Brilliant.
but AT&T's 3G can do voice and data. And so basically what'll happen is you'll get comparatively really slow data, but it can handle both of them. And basically
So
what
wait,
Verizon,
so do other phones on for other Verizon phones, are they able to do LTE talk and voice or voice and data at the same time?
I think what other phones do, I don't know the answer to that, but I think what they're expecting Apple to do was to have both antennas going at the same time. So
Oh.
if you want to do data, you'll handle data with LTE with the 4G LTE. And if you want to handle phone, you'll use CDMA, which is the 3G technology. And
They
I don't
didn't.
I yeah, they didn't. And so Verizon was like, it's not our fault. Don't get angry at us. Oh. But they're and Apple's like,
I'm not angry at Verizon. At least they're allowing FaceTime over their network, no matter what customer
yeah.
you are.
Right, that's
I
they've all
really
got their
hope
shortcomings.
that AT&T realizes that they're just a bunch of douches and goes back on that one. Oh, just kidding. Sorry. I think that they were really hoping that they're like, we'll say it really early. We'll forecast it out to Verizon, and Verizon will play along with us, and then we'll be able to lock them in. I
Yeah,
really felt like that's what they were trying to do. Then Verizon came
and
out and
I.
went, "Hey, guess what, losers? We're not doing that."
Right. Yeah. It's
And
almost like they
AT&T was like,
like.
"Ah, we took a bet and we lost. Dang it! They didn't get our
Man.
message. Come on, hey Verizon, you missed it. We're not doing that. Just so you know, we were supposed to be,
I would love if it was like, because that's because you're treating it like it were, a classic prisoner's dilemma, game theory. We're gonna bet they're gonna do this, and that'll be best for both of us. But if either one of
Yeah.
us, hedges, we win
That's
completely.
exactly what
And
happened.
but I wonder, because I don't put it past big companies to do this, but I wonder if there was a little bit of collusion going on and they talked about it beforehand and were like, oh yeah, no, sure, AT&T, we'll totally charge for FaceTime. Don't worry about it. We'll charge extra.
We'll make it so it can only be done with the bucket data buckets. It's okay. That's all
Yeah,
right.
don't worry. We'll do the same thing as you guys, and then the day comes, oh, what? No, we're gonna make it We're gonna make it just, you know, with that same as everybody else at AT&T. I don't know. Flogging themselves, you know, because you can't AT&T. Exactly complain about the fact that the company that you colluded with, you know, didn't stick to the deal.
That's possible. I really hope that AT&T was just like, you know what, guys, sorry, that was a mistake. They don't tend to do that, so I don't think it'll happen. I just wish they would. Mostly because I'm not on the data plan. But when you get your smartphone, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. And then I'll have to really think deep about getting a 3G iPad because, hey, it's all in one data bucket. Who cares?
Woo! Yeah. But, yeah.
And then they'll just start hosing us for data, and it'll be great. Oh, I'm super pumped for that. I know it's coming. What do you do about it besides just use your devices less?
Yeah, that's... No, you pay more. That's the solution they're looking for.
I know. I don't want to, though.
Yeah, I'm not. That's actually going to be the... Yeah.
I know. I can see it coming. But I just have to learn to temper myself, right, and not be addicted to it so that I can just vote with my wallet and say, no, sorry, you're going to charge me more. I'm going to use it less.
Right.
That's hard.
So... Yeah. I kind of want to move on a little bit.
All right, cool.
Because this is kind of a cool... So I've noticed this trend. Something's going on at Google, and this is part of my, you know, I got into a little bit earlier talking about what Google's doing, and they've got my, something exciting is happening bone going pretty good. And I want to bring a couple of articles to you. One was a Wired magazine follow up on an article that they wrote about a year ago. And basically, it's like small Nebraska town. They got a delivery, and they had these like machines, these electronics devices in them, and they had all these like wacky ports that nobody had ever seen before, and nobody uses. They're literally completely non-standard, and they got them all over them, and they took them apart and tried to, or like not totally apart, but they tried to figure out what they were, and the only discernible thing on them that they knew anything about was it had a label on it that said that it was labeled as a Pluto switch, like the planet, and but nothing else. So everybody was trying to figure out where these things came from. Like, is this like a DOD? Is this a is this some sort of, you know, cool technology? Like, what is this, aliens? Like what's going on here? Well, they did some research. They looked around and they did a follow up, and basically what they found was, they belong to Google. Google, it turns out, you know, I think we all knew this, but they don't buy any of their, they don't buy servers from other people. They design their own server technology. And I think everybody kind of just assumed that like that's server racks, but they do everything. And what's really crazy about this is like, they don't just, you know, design their own boards that they attach stuff to. They're like designing their own plugs and their own wiring schemes and everything, so that it's like all, it's not just like secret, and but it's like super proprietary. It's like crazy advanced. it's just awesome. And I guess what ended up happening was it just got delivered to the wrong address. And nice. So, and because they weren't labeled Google, they had no idea where they were supposed to go. You know, because Google is trying to be all super secretive about it, because this is all trade, you know, trade dress stuff. This is their bread and butter. This is what makes them awesome. And then another article came out this last week. Basically, Intel gave this interview where they said like a decade ago, HP, Dell, and IBM were the number one buyers of Intel chips for servers. Mm-hmm. Like, they made up 75% of the market. And today, there are 8 companies that make up 75% of the market, and HP, Dell, and IBM aren't on that list. They protecting the identities of the companies because they weren't given permission. The only one they listed was that Google was on a list, number 5. And they said what's crazy is that Google obviously doesn't sell to anybody. They just use them internally. So, you know, that's not a big surprise. It's the biggest internet company in the world, and they're buying unbelievable amounts of chips for their servers. But, you know, you put these two stories together, and you start to realize that, like, Google has become this powerhouse of server design. They build and manufacture the best server systems in the world. They do it all internally for themselves and not a single other person. And what and they were, and what's interesting about this is that Facebook's not one of those big eight, or they might be the bottom of the big eight. They're talking about the fact that Facebook does build their own servers, but they're nothing compared to Google. And then I bring all of this together with this other story that popped. You know, Google Fiber is catching a lot of people's attention, freaking some people out, exciting others. Kansas City in particular. And basically this article just kind of gets into what is Google Fiber and why are they doing it. And it was kind of nice. They talked about how like they went into Kansas City and there are well-known cultural socioeconomic divides in the city. And when Google went in, they, you know, it was all registration online. And they were like, they started mapping what districts were going to get it and what districts weren't. And they were like, you could see if you overlaid the, you know, average price per home of, you know, distribution of Kansas City over top of our map, it was like, it's perfect. Like, there's just a line there. And so they were, you know, being the, you know, California and, you know, peace, love, and happiness guys, good guys, they actually hired 60 people to head out and go door to door and raise awareness. And they're like, would you be interested in signing up for, because what they thought it was just like a, you know, well, it's kind of expensive. It's like $300 to install the equipment, but you get free internet for 7 years. Or, you know, there's a, or it's like a, you know, whatever, it's some cheap price a month, but it's a monthly price. And they thought it was just people weren't willing to make the capital investment in order to get it. So they just want to kind of educate people. And what they found was like, they would find all sorts of people who they'd like explain to, like, what, you know, have you heard about it? And they're like, well, I don't really go online. They're like, oh, you don't go online, you know, why not? And they're like, I don't have the internet. Google, what? You don't have what? You know, and so
welcome to
they were
Kansas
like,
City, apparently.
Yeah, really.
Whoops, should have done that
So,
research survey a little bit earlier.
yeah, exactly. And they ended up going, they actually ended up talking to the government, and so they're getting a bunch of grants for people who can't afford it, which, you know, which of course,
Oh,
like,
I'm so glad that that's where we decided to do this. Or what? Good job, Google.
yeah. Thanks, Google.
Brilliant.
Come on. Sunnyvale, San Jose, Los Gatos, you know, come on, boys. But you know, but the part of it is they're trying to raise awareness in middle America. They're trying to get Kansas excited about the internet, you know, and surrounding regions. So that's why they're doing it there, I think, in large degree. But you know, but so outside of the whole
Awesome.
political aspect of it,
So you're
interesting
gonna be like,
little.
so what do you think of this new super fast internet? I love it. It's the first ever I've had. I don't know any different.
Yeah, I mean,
Excellent comparison point. Thank you.
I gotta say, hey, did you guys know that they have videos of cats online? Like,
Yeah,
jeez.
dude. LOL cats. Have you seen this? It's like this cat with his hands up in the air with a gun pointing at him. He's like, I surrender. It's so funny.
It is amazing.
And it
This is
loads like
fantastic.
instantly, man. It's so. There is this
Well,
website out there. It is called, I don't know if you heard it, YouTube. There's
yeah.
this guy, he dances like a
It's,
robot. It's
okay.
unbelievable.
You know what YouTube is? It is America's funniest home video without commercials, nonstop, forever. It's like the greatest thing ever.
Man, seriously, that's what it's gonna be like. You're just like,
but
thank you. I'm so glad that I you told me that so that I had a good idea of how much faster it was and how much better it is.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever.
It's
I will just pay attention to those people who
people who
understand and
knew.
actually have it. Yeah.
Yeah. But what I was gonna say was
Unbelievable. Like these neighborhoods, they don't even want the internet and they're gonna
I
give them
know.
this super fast fiber. What the heck, man? How it doesn't make any sense at all.
I would have moved to Kansas City. But
I don't need
so.
it. Well, yes, you do actually, and it's going to be pretty darn fast because we're investing millions of dollars into your area for
Well,
something you
so
don't even want or miss. Brilliant.
So the big
such
question
engineers,
everybody's...
such engineers. That's, anyways, go ahead.
So the big
there's
question...
no all right, one more. There is no intersection of technology and liberal arts in that department either. Let's just be clear about that.
You know, that's fair. That is fair. That was a miss.
They probably went, okay, what's the city with the lowest average internet speed? And all these ones that didn't have internet, they counted as zero, and it just brought the average way down. Like, this is going to be great. We're going to see major deltas. You can't believe the percentage increases we'll be able to tout. Okay. Excellent.
Yeah. These people are going to have to buy computers. You realize that, right?
Oh, there's rent Chromebooks. That'll be great.
Right.
Man, how hilarious.
So, got
on the Googles. It was great.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, I'm excited for those people. They'll
sign it into Facebook and spend all their time there, not on Google searches. That'll be the real. take that.
Yeah. What's Google Plus? I've never heard of that.
Oh, I can sign into Facebook and keep up with all my friends. I love this Google Fiber.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
It's probably going to help. I
surf the web with my iPhone. I love it.
Yeah. As a socioeconomic thing, though, it probably will improve everything a lot. I mean, it's crazy that they didn't think about it ahead of time, but it's a pretty cool thing they're doing, you know, in reality. But
I totally want it in my neighborhood. I just don't see why it's not mine and this one instead.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever.
So let me get into this, because one of the big things that they've pointed out is that, like, Google has been buying up all sorts of what they call the dark or the shadow net or something. I can't remember what the term they used. It's not important to the story. Basically, it's the internet capacity that was built up in a lot of cities back in late 90s or early 2000s, right as the dot-com burst was happening. Basically, I guess like cities like New York, San Francisco, they invested huge amounts of money in fiber optics that never get used because the dot-coms collapsed. Yeah, which I'm surprised by. And Google, you know, Google went and, like, bought a bunch of it up. You know, years ago, they bought one of the biggest fiber optics production companies in the world. And basically, like, the telecom or the ISPs, like Comcast, WB, they're all like freaking out, like, what's your guys' long-term strategy here? And basically Google has come and said, look, this is about shaming you. This is about making you feel bad. This is about getting the public on your guys' butts because you're so bad. This is about showing up to the game as somebody who has no idea what we're doing and schooling you so hard that you have to respond or we'll take all of your business, which is pretty shocking because I think a lot of times I like to believe that these companies have some legitimate reason why they don't have we don't have faster internet in America, and you know it has to do with like an old network system, and you know we're because we build on the foundations of like telephone stuff, and it's crazy expensive, and it's just not doable. It's not in reality. It's not something that we can have. And maybe we have slower speeds than we need, but we can't expect stuff like they have in Japan. And basically, Google is saying, no, that's not true at all. You can have that. You will have that. And if these guys don't get on the bandwagon, bad things are going to happen to them. Wow, it's interesting.
Wow.
And what's crazy to me is that if any company could do it, Google could, because they build all the switching stations. They can build switching stations. They can build router stations. They can build servers. Like, these guys have so much, you know, hardware know-how. We think of them as, quote-unquote, the internet company. All of their products are online. But the reality of it is, it's like only a small fraction of what they do, or not a small, I mean a huge fraction of what they do is online. But you know, their hardware department is nothing to scoff at. You just don't think about it because one of the biggest buyers of hardware components in the world, Google, buys them from themselves. You know, they don't, you know, if they were in the market and HP was supplying stuff and IBM, well, number one, HP and IBM couldn't supply enough servers for Google. You know, you'd have to, it would have to be all three companies, HP, Dell, and all your big server companies getting together and building stuff to keep
That'd
up
be a
with what
mess.
Google's to
They did it the right
yeah,
way.
it'd be horrible. Right. And when you think about it in that context, that it's the biggest customer supplying with the one, it's the biggest, it's a company supplying to the biggest customer, and it's just, it, there's just one. There's one of each. And they just so happen to have the same name. But they're the biggest manufacturers in the world, and so they can settle their own standards. They can sit, not the biggest manufacturer in the world, but, you know, one of the biggest manufacturers in the world because they have the biggest customer in the world. Hmm. And it's just, it's crazy. It's nuts to think about what's going on at Google. And it's funny, you know, I think they really talk about the fact that they're, you know, well, this is about shaming these guys. It's about dragging them kicking and screaming into the future so we can make a better America for tomorrow. But at the same time, if those guys don't get on board, Google doesn't need them. You know, it'll be faster and it'll be better if all these different companies,
you know,
skip along with them. But ultimately, Google's like, we're going to do this until you realize you can't not do it, and then you'll do it, and you know, and then we'll all get there together. It's exciting. It's the beginning of a new phase of Google. It's the beginning of the new phase of the internet in America. And as somebody who, you know, is willing to pay unbelievable amounts of money for 100 megabyte speeds, you know, through Comcast, you know, as soon as I can afford it, that is like going to be part of my budget. I've already planned it out. I know how much I need to make in order to afford it, and that's what my goal is. This is really exciting because I don't want to pay that much.
Yeah.
I'm just willing to. And so the fact that Google's trying to make it so that these guys have to offer more for less, you know, 10 times faster internet than the fastest internet Comcast currently offers at like a tenth of the cost, it's nuts. It's crazy. It's so exciting. Oh, man, I love it. I am jazzed about this, James. I am excited.
I can tell.
And see, this is how I wanted to feel about the iPhone 5. I don't know. I'm excited.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Cool. No, I hope it'll be cool. I think it will be neat. Yeah, cool. Shame them. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm okay with faster for, you know.
Whatever it takes.
Similar price. I'm okay with that, I guess. Of course, knowing me, if the second they offered a faster version, I'd swap down to the lower version and get a discount for the same speed. But
right.
Which
you
I would
get
also
the free
be
version. Super
totally.
Lame.
I totally would.
Yeah, but that's because you don't want... You don't want 100 gigabytes per or 100.
Well, I have different priorities in life. I have a conscious spending budget, and you know, maybe that's not high priority. Working internet, that's all I need.
1,000 megabits per second, James.
Actually, I've been thinking like trying to justify switching over to say like that AT&T data buckets, and then just ditching the home internet altogether. I don't think I can justify it cost-wise, but that would be cool.
That would be cool.
I think I burn through way too much data at home, though.
Yeah.
But that's all
yeah.
right.
Yeah. I definitely would. I'd have to constrain my internet use.
Change some habits, perhaps?
Yeah. Like, get rid of the internet. Where do my browser icons go? Oh, I uninstalled all of your browsers so you don't waste the internet.
Yeah. Oh, really? It'd be funny when you came and visited. Oh, no, there's no internet. Sorry. No.
Not for you.
So I had a... We got about 10, 12 minutes left, I would say. Two quick ones for you. And then I can let you take us out of here if you're interested in that.
Okay.
First one, good old Microsoft. They are getting a patent for an immersive display experience, which they actually had a video of it back in May of 2011, where the idea is you have your main video, you know, on a TV or stuff. And their whole, like, this video is all about projectors of the future. And so the idea is, if say you're watching like an underwater video, I'm just making that up. It actually, like, the room will turn blue and look like it's all underwater all around
Weird.
you. So you feel like, you've seen some of these TVs where they'll have like a glow in the background, and the glow will resemble similar to whatever the color of the scene is. Have you seen they yeah,
Yes.
that's a thing. But this is a bigger thing. And then they take it a next step where let's say you're playing a video game and you're like playing a shooter game, and so you're, first person shooter, you're looking at your screen. But then if someone like comes from behind you, they will actually show up on the wall approaching
Weird.
the front of your screen. Yeah, pretty cool. And so, like I said, they have a video. It shows the home of the future. I wish it was about 20 times longer than it really is, because they really just show you just enough to bug you. It's just a poor man's holodeck is a really way to think about it. But they are filing a patent and trying to make it happen,
Nice.
and it's cool. So I don't know why they still depend on the television screen. I think you just have a camera and you say, this is, excuse me, this is the, whatever. Except for, I guess, that screen is where it's the high def, it's really nice, and everything else they can kind of get rid of the extraneous details, just show you the big broad strokes, because you're not staring at it. It's all peripheral vision stuff. But I think it'd be cool for watching videos and or movies, and especially playing video games. That'd be neat. I like some of the stuff that Microsoft's doing.
Yeah, I still stand that some of the coolest technologies that they've ever come up with is making a tour de force on Windows 8, and it's still not gonna sell. I don't understand how those guys operate. They got great engineers there. They got they really do have a crazy, crazy good team. It's they're nothing to scoff at.
Yeah, super smart
Unless you're,
guys. Can't sell, but yeah, they're good. And then the other one, which I actually thought was really cool, because it's the bit of, or I want to say, it's a step closer to Star Trek. Okay.
All right.
And this one is, researchers have developed, it's a laser-based system that blasts microscopic jets of drugs into the skin that could make getting a shot as painless as being hit with a puff of air.
Ooh.
Yeah, so basically they're able to take these microscopic jets and, it actually, yeah, they shoot it into your skin so that you don't even feel it. They were able to do it with guinea pigs successfully, and they're getting ready to start testing it on the mammals, the humans.
You have to say, I'm pretty sure guinea pigs are mammals.
Yeah, for the humans. Yeah, and so like it could be good for like small doses or with kids who don't like needles.
I wonder how expensive it is.
Oh, I'm sure it's dirt cheap. Yeah, nah, can't be expensive at all. Totally cheap. Or
Because
really
a needle and
expensive.
syringe, I was gonna
Yeah.
say, a needle and syringe is about as basic a medical tool as you can get. I feel like you'll only see these in big hospitals with a big budget because there's going to be a huge capital cost in just to buy the equipment as opposed to buying a syringe,
Who cares?
which
That's not
costs
important.
13 cents.
Not important.
I know. It's cool. It's exciting, and I think it'll find its way into some aspect of the hospitals, but I'm not going to get my hopes up. Our kids, which who knows how long that will be.
Yeah, I was like, did you freeze? What's going on?
I just wanted to let that pregnant pause just hang out there for a little bit
Well, I have
longer.
nothing to announce, so it
Okay.
will be a while.
Me neither.
That's good.
I'm
Being that
gonna
you're
go cry now. Not
not
what?
married or in a relationship, that's good. Nothing to cry about over that.
No,
Oh, man.
I'm just so
So, anyways,
lonely.
I thought that was cool.
And
That's the future, okay?
It is cool. It
Yes,
is
it's a
cool. I'm
ways
sorry.
away. I get that.
I didn't mean to rain all over the parade. Oh yeah, it's gonna be really expensive and no one will be able to afford it. Cool.
Dude, hey, you know what?
Sorry.
That's it's cooler than your like touch the charge thing. Come on, really? Who cares? Just plug the thing in. Ooh, I set it down instead of plugging it in. Amazing. Wow, it's
Dude, you know how, you have no idea how happy that would make me.
Well, you know what? I'm the same way. Not that I'm afraid of needles or anything. I think it's kind of cool. But I'm just saying, it's cool.
Is cool.
It's
It
at
is very
least as
cool.
cool as the touch to charge. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, fair enough. Fair
There.
enough.
There's my dig on you for the day. All right. Bring us on home, dude. What was the last thing of this week that you thought remotely interesting? Way to be prepared.
I know, sorry. I had this one for a second. Basically IBM, they're taking pictures of atoms. The atoms in a molecule. It's pretty cool.
So
They have
they
these
you couldn't
like
do that before?
no.
Oh.
Well they're like
Well, what was
they're
like a
getting
it's a
they
molecular it's a electron oh man an electron microscope that just that wasn't to the molecular the oh my gosh that wasn't to the atom level. I kind of felt
Well,
like they were doing molecules already or something.
so now they're getting high enough resolution where they can actually see like what kind of bonds they are. Are they covalent bonds? Are they
Wow.
ion bonds? Are they? Yeah, they're getting all sorts of. They're getting nutty. It's getting and it's get. They're just. It's just even higher resolution, and they're talking about the camera, quote unquote camera, because it works just like a scanning electron microscope, where it basically is a needle that gets down to the. To one atom wide, and they use that to measure, when they pass over the other atoms in the molecule. They can measure the variance and stuff, and then they just map that, and it gives them a molecule. But it's just kind of cool. It's exciting when you're like, wow, that picture looks just like it does in the textbook.
Well,
That
that was funny. My thought was like, great, this means every single high school science textbook has to be rewritten. Awesome.
Yeah. Well,
Unless it's on
the
an iPad, then
backside.
it doesn't. Then it's just an update, just like that.
Yeah, come on, schools, get in gear. The nice part is that we were right.
Yeah, really.
It could be worse. We could have to re-educate everybody.
So, turns out this isn't how molecules work. How awesome would that have been? So,
We always
yeah.
assumed that they just found like these natural geometries, but it turns out they don't at all. I feel like we would have known that.
That would have been awesome, actually.
Actually,
I bet
that
they
would
were
have been
almost
way.
like bummed. Dang it. We were right. Oh,
Well, it's
well, there
funny.
goes that PhD.
Yeah, really. Well, it's funny when they like when they found the what's it called? The particle at the Large Hadron Collider that they suspect may be the Higgs boson. They actually it's now been peer reviewed and they say the particle exists. We're just not actually sure if it's the Higgs or not. They still have to do other testing.
Awesome.
But what's exciting is that the Higgs predicted where it would be, so it's a big step. It's pretty much we know it's there. We just got to make sure that it has the characteristics that we think it had. But anyways, the reason why I brought that story up was because they were talking about like when they first discovered it, a bunch of the scientists were disappointed. Like oh, what's his name? Hawking. He's like bummed out because that's not exciting. It's what we expected it to be. Lame.
Lame. I could have. Yeah. It's funny.
But
Scientists are ficky, man. They're almost as ficky as we are when it comes to Apple keynotes.
I
It's
know,
exactly what
seriously.
I expected. Lame.
Yeah, this is
This
stupid.
company's doomed. Awesome. Awesome. So,
Cool.
anything else fun happening in your life? Obviously, you're not getting an iPhone 5 yet, so that's not
Yet.
awesome.
I am gonna go and get the what was I gonna get? No, nothing. Nothing exciting. Nothing exciting.
Okay.
It's more and more monotony.
More monotony.
It sounds awful. No, actually, no. Next week, I'm doing the Tough Mudder up in Tahoe for the weekend. So I'm gonna be preparing for that all week long,
What is
which
that?
is terrifying and exciting. It's an 11-mile obstacle course.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm terrified.
Like, what are some examples of obstacles?
Well, they have like climbing walls and
Whoa, I want to
get
watch you do this.
you know what? Nobody's gonna watch me do this except the other participants. They have like weights that you have to like carry up, like they're like logs that you have to like carry up a hill. This tunnel that has all these electrodes that hang down that are charged like those shocking things. What are those called? Tasers. And you have to run through like a taser thing. They have like a muddy field it's like this course that you got to run through that's on fire. Pretty exciting. It's gonna be fun, I think. I hope. Maybe. Probably not. It's probably gonna be awful, but whatever.
So when is this
I'm
happening?
ready. Next Saturday.
Okay. So we'll get the report back
So,
on Sunday. If
is it?
you make it to the show on Sunday,
Yeah.
that'll be a
If
good sign.
I'm alive, we'll do the show on Sunday.
Okay, so tentatively, the show is on Sunday. Oh, that's funny.
About you?
Whoa, messing up here. So this weekend we went camping, and that was kind of our last official summer event, if you will. So
Yeah.
now I'm ready to put my shorts away and kind of get ready for fall. Because I did the last fun thing. We don't really have any more plans until Thanksgiving.
Right.
And even then, all I have is a week off. I actually haven't made any plans for that yet. It's that time of year to really hunker down and start getting to work and stop goofing off and enjoying the sun, I guess. So I don't know what form that'll take. It'll probably start off with a trilogy of some sort, and then
I'm gonna say that sounds as depressing as my monotony comment.
No. I'm genuinely excited because I have been doing a whole bunch of outside stuff, which
Yeah.
obviously means the inside stuff kind of takes a back seat. And so it might be an opportunity for me to get back to programming. Oh, it will be eventually. Programming, there's some other projects, just computer stuff that I've been putting off and not doing, and so it's an opportunity to kind of get back to doing that. So I'm excited for that.
Nice.
But I'm going to warm up with watching a trilogy or two
Yeah.
first. I've recently, let's see, I re-put on, because I tend to store all my movies on a external hard drive, but I just put on the Spider-Man trilogy, the Matrix trilogy, the Harry Potter octology. I feel like there was another one in there too. I haven't put the Star Wars one on. I'm not quite ready to do that one. So I got a couple choices, on how I'm really gonna spend my time, really quality, get back into winter. But I also
Sounds
wouldn't mind
good.
getting sick sometime soon. That would be nice. I wanted to get
Have
sick
time.
2 weeks ago and it didn't happen. I was really bummed about that. And now would be a really, really good time to just get like totally, I can't even get out of bed sick. Just putting
You're
it out there.
a bit of a weirdo.
Well, sometimes it's nice to just totally get sick. Gave me some chicken soup, gotta take care of me.
I don't. You could just pretend to get sick and then stay in bed and drink chicken soup. That's probably a less horrible version of the same thing.
I will neither conform or deny that's a good idea, just in case.
Enough.
Cool. Well, awesome, man. Sorry life's boring, but hey, at least it's not bad. Besides the whole no relationship thing.
No,
Let me just bring that one back up.
I gotta say, I'm in much better spirits than I let on this week. Oh, you know what I'm upset about? I'm upset about the fact that right now the best financial decision in my life is to not buy a smartphone, and I really, really wanted to, and I didn't. And that is really, I feel like it's put a taint on this entire weekend. You know, to be totally honest, you know, pretty much.
So it's not Apple's Friday problem; morning. It's your problem.
Well,
got it. Okay. Glad we clarified that.
Nothing I said was invalid. I just think my aggressiveness might have been a little bit internal.
Good. All right. Good. I'm glad we were able to clarify that. That's funny. Cool. All right. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us. My name is James Furlow. My still quasi Apple on his way to Google fanboy brother is Matthew Furlow, and we will talk next time. Thank you.